everybody, and welcome to Stuck in Middle Age. I am Desmond Del Castillo, once again back in the host chair. This is episode 16,
or season two.
Or I was about to say season two, episode one. So I'm not actually sure, and I was going to ask you guys, like, which one sounds better? I mean, 16 sounds like a lot of episodes, but I mean, going with the season two, episode one, well, it looks like we were renewed, right?
No, I think that's a TV thing when you have episodes and like seasons. You know, it's okay. It sounds impressive when for Survivor. But when you're talking podcasts, you know, like Spit and Chicklets, they're at episode 1500 or something. And then, or maybe that's Joe Rogan, 1300 and something. He doesn't break it down by seasons.
Okay. So then we're
going to take a month off. So it's like a renewal.
Maybe we start a trend though. Maybe we make podcasts a seasonal thing. Episode. I don't mind it. It sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then we can just like make shit up
and music. We can change the theme music.
People love our theme music.
Well, it's too late now anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. But still, what I really want for our theme music is Stuck in the Middle with you, Steelers Wheels or whatever.
Hey, maybe if we get to season three.
Well, it's true.
Let's use it.
And right? I did approach them and asked if we could pay for it. They never wrote
break
back.
Out your wallet there, Dunk.
Yeah. Well, they never, I asked how much and they never even wrote back. When we're big, well, like, cause Jim Rome had, he's had the Guns N' Roses theme. And what did he pay for that? Do you think?
Well, that's a whole different ballpark.
Well, but he started in a basement in college, didn't he? Isn't that how it began?
I'm not sure of all the specifics there, but,
I'm just saying that we could start.
He's done a good job. He's done a good job.
And it's taken him 30 years. But,
you know, first we time, are long time.
Season two, episode one. Fantastic. All right.
Yeah.
Let's get this thing going.
I hope you guys got half the signing bonus I did for this season. So I guess, Jay, how are you?
I got
you?
A percentage of a couple sales from Derek Del Castillo's, Derek Costantino's. Derek, man, are you two brothers? That's kind of weird how I did that. Yeah, I got a percentage bonus from a couple houses that he sold around here. You guys got the checks. He said the checks were in the mail.
Just like the chips, right?
And Wasim's hoodie.
I like how Desmond asked me a question and then Dunk just kept on rolling. But you know what? I think it's because he's a little bit giddy tonight because this episode actually features him. So he's just getting the chops warmed up here. I hope you got a glass of water. You know, keep everything loose and wet.
Yeah. I'm actually drinking this one. I took enough heat when I didn't drink that one episode in season one.
I took the time to write an intro, Jay, for Adam, and you just like blew it out of the water.
Oh,
you just ruined it.
Oh, no, that's I still want to read it. Didn't you just ask him what he's drinking?
That what are you drinking?
Okay, so Jay answered the question, and then he could do the intro.
I'm, I'm still drinking a plethora of hard seltzers. I'm on the Vizzies now. And the only reason I'm on the Vizzies is because they're on sale. And I've been collecting scene points because I want to travel. So I got this Vizzy. It's a pineapple mango. One thing I don't like about it, though, is at the bottom, it can't just say like vodka beverage with alcohol. It has to say alcoholic vodka. I don't like that word.
Mm. Which one, vodka or alcoholic?
Isn't that kind of
yeah, exactly. Anyway, the pineapple mango is pretty good. I do like it. Oh, and the reason why we're having a couple of sips of drinks this evening is because today is the 22nd anniversary of our first date, Jen and I.
That's not podcast worthy, I don't think. Oh, all way right. to go.
Good.
Worked well.
Good.
Well, happy first date anniversary. Jeez Louise. It was
Adam, what are you drinking
the other day? Oh, I'm having a traditional Guinness right now. I started with a Guinness and then I'm going to lean into something else, but that's where I'm at.
Okay. Okay. Well, I have a,
What are you drinking, Desmond? Sorry.
I've got, Temdu Speyside single malt scotch, the batch strength. So Jay, this is another bottle from the, World Cup scotch bet that I won. Not a big deal.
So the big question there is how many are left?
I think there's still about four or five left. So when we did that scotch, the draft, shout out to Andrew Bryce. He's now listening. We had a good chat with him at that lunch, and he's thanked us on the Instagram. post a couple of times and made a couple of comments about the episode. So shout out to Mr. Bryce. Second place, but hey, it happens, right?
So we got fans out there. That's awesome.
Yeah, speaking of fans, Adam, time for the emails.
Oh, yeah, emails. We got a grand total of three, which is pretty good. A couple of repeat listener guys. One from Matt Bagley, guy out here in Comox. Congrats on making it to episode 15. What are we doing to celebrate New Year? You know, I was away at a curling event and got back just in time for to watch the Dick Clark New Year's Eve. And you know, actually, what? That's a good question. Duran Duran was on it. And they were fantastic. And I know you guys tease me about, exactly. I know you tease me about being the 80s guy and all that kind of stuff, but they were honestly really, really good. And they were lip syncing. It was excellent.
Oh, that's a smart move. That's a smart move.
I would go to Duran Duran. If they came to Vancouver or Victoria or something, I'm sure they could still sell out Rogers Stadium, Rogers Arena. They could sell that out in a heartbeat. And I would go. They were so good. Anyways. Yeah, so that's what I did. I don't know what you guys did.
Does it really matter? I don't think you'd care anyway.
He said, forget about World Cup. What about the World Juniors? It's true. We didn't really talk about that. Who won that, by the way?
Canada.
I'm kidding. It was a Bedard show or Bedard, whatever. Yeah.
He's actually playing, the Pats are playing in Calgary tomorrow night. I think the Dome's almost like sold out.
I'm sure. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, nuts.
Like, they must just
the flames.
Yeah. Also, let's hear some tips on benefit packages or health spending accounts.
Boom. He wrote that just for you. Did you coach him beforehand?
Yeah. I honestly didn't. As I type this, I'm sipping on an oatmeal stout from Townsite. Adam wasn't wrong about the beer because I think I was drinking a Townsite Zanga, I think, or Zanga last time we were on that. So thanks for emailing Matt. Paul O'Toole. We've listened to him before or talk, you know, he's sent, love listening to podcasts and the podcast in 2022. You've outlasted 94.3642% of podcasted that started in 2022. Well done. Also give producer Jim a raise, whoever he is. Editing around Adam is a Herculean feat. Four things I received his tooth. He received my 2022 Spotify rap summary of my listening throughout the year and thought I'd share with our top podcast, Stuck in Middle Age. So that was his top podcast. That's pretty
cool. Impressive.
That's pretty awesome.
And a picture of it, which is really cool. It's kind of weird seeing us like that. I may be thinking of buying a property in Comox Valley, preferably using a Royal LePage agent. Do not have any idea who I might call or who could help me out.
Hey, by the way, we are looking for a new sponsor if there's anybody out there for season two.
Yeah, yeah, we're not mentioning Derek Costantino once this episode.
Royal LePage, Comox
Valley. Royal LePage, Comox Valley. Given the natural banter between the three of you, I share the following topics I think would be interesting from a listener's point of view. Number one, share your favorite stories about one another. Yeah.
Do we have
some? Pet peeves, what really grinds your guys' gears? Like about each other? It doesn't say about each other or just in general.
I think that's where it would turn into, though.
Yeah. Hey, then, Desmond, you see, we're finishing
each other's sentences. It wouldn't be. Yeah.
There wouldn't be a season three.
No. Or episode two. Views, experiences on buying vacation properties in the Shuswap, Columbia Valley, around Lake Kukanoosa in British Columbia. Do any of you have any vacation properties? Is it worth it? Do you rent them out? Airbnb? That's not a bad idea. As distinguished gentlemen in your 40s, what life lessons have you learned that you would share with listeners in their 20s and 30s? Could be around family, finances, careers. What is important to focus on in the 30s? And what do you think? That's not a bad idea either.
It's not a bad idea.
Falls
in the isn't hobby, that what we're stuck that's in our intent for season two, right?
I
think our best episodes from season one were given a little bit of advice to people, whether it comes from us or whether it comes from like the guy that we bring in, the professional. And so I think that's the aim for season two. We'll do a little bit more of that.
Yeah, more informative podcasting. But I just looked the other day and our number one listened to episode is The Guy. And I don't want to, you know, I'm sure it has something to do with host.
You hosted it.
Exactly. But it was also a very good topic.
Based on your stats earlier in season one, I'm going to have to go back and confirm that. Maybe producer Jim can look at that while we're on air, right?
I'll run some graphs.
And here's the thing. You can't take Bartlett's three episodes and add them all to one.
We'll do legit
stuff. They're all individual episodes. Okay? Other than our first episode.
He was a good guest.
Our first episode is the number one most listened to episode of all time.
Guess who did that one? Or who was the spotlight?
Murray. No, Murray was our
He who shall not be named.
Yeah. Voldemort, right. What hockey teams do you cheer for? Why are you a fan of your team? Who are you? Nah, I'm not doing that. I can't. I'm not even.
I hate my team anyway.
I sometimes wonder if I'm even a sports fan. Who are your least favorite teams in the league? That'd be Vancouver Canucks. They're up there anyways. Yeah. Being a cultured, civilized male, I also blow dry my hair in the morning. I don't know how you can't unless you don't have hair to blow dry. Hey, who doesn't blow dry their hair?
Whoa. Stop. Let's take an interlude here.
What?
Your hair is shorter than mine today. In fact, I got my haircut today. You actually look like you have a haircut that I would sport.
No, you wish you could sport.
Like, I don't even think you could blow dry that. What do you need to blow dry it for?
I did blow dry. I blow dry because
air dry in like 10 seconds.
Gives it volume. Yeah, it was quick, but it gives a volume, dude.
Okay. All right, carry on.
Jeez. Anyways.
My hair looks good.
You know who doesn't blow? Yeah, I said we already answered. The wild beasts roaming the wilderness of Canada's national parks don't blow dry their hair. Using blow dryers is the only thing separating us from the animals. All right, Paul.
He likes us, that guy, I think.
He does. And it's, you know, he comes prepared. He had an image in there. That was pretty cool. And then the last one was from Wasim, of course. You know, Wasim's sick of hearing us bash him. Gents, it's an interesting show as always, but I have to say, stick to hockey and football or have the greatest guest ever, Mike Bartlett, talk basketball. Listening to you guys, see, statistically speaking, he's not. He's not the best guest, okay? He's a good guest, but he's not the best guest, Wasim, okay? Listening to you guys talk soccer was almost as enlightening as the Christmas traditions, keeping in mind that I am Muslim, have not celebrated a single Christmas in my entire life. P.S. My 17-year-old plays in CUSA U35 Division 2. How are you only in Division 6? Because we sucked, Wasim. That's the easy answer. We're terrible.
Did you not hear my penalty shot story?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like he only listens to half the podcast.
Yep. It's okay. It's all right. It's like the half hoodie we sent him.
Well, yeah. I think we asked for it back because didn't we give it to
No confirmation of receipt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was cash on delivery. And
charge on delivery. Yeah. Okay. So before we get into the episode today, I know we had a little texting chatter over the weekend here in the last few days. So we've got the Super Bowl coming up here. Adam, obviously you think NFL's fixed. And Jay, this like past week, you had...
It's rigged.
Real...
It's rigged beyond rigged.
You're like
Adam is winning
NFL
me over.
Supporter. So I'm just going to ask you, like, Jay, is this you being... a little poopy pants because the Bills lost, or is there something really, really gotcha right now?
No, I think that if the Bills ended up making it to the Super Bowl, I would have swept a lot of this rigging under the rug and I wouldn't have paid much attention to it. But now that I'm on the outside looking in, I'm on Dunk's team. This is garbage. NFL rigged hashtag was trending number one on Twitter after both of those games. And dude, I just don't get it. There's like all kinds of betting that is happening on these games, whether it was sports in general, but I think on the NFL, over $1 billion was spent on wagers by bettors the last year. And you're telling me with all of these cameras on the freaking field that we can't get calls right? It drives me absolutely crazy. It changed the whole outlook of that 49ers-Eagles game. You know, Demaryius Thomas did not catch that ball. It hits the ground, right?
You mean Devontae Smith?
That's exactly what I was talking about. Devontae Smith.
Okay.
Goes up for the catch.
Good. Maybe I'm the biggest fan on this podcast.
That's because you don't know the guy's name. Don't dismiss the rig story, Desmond. Yeah, exactly.
Demaryius Thomas.
Don't act like that.
And then why are
we one of those guys?
Like, so he's got hand signals so he can tell his team to hurry up and take the next play. Like if we've got the video, why don't we just get the call right? It drives me absolutely insane. So then more plays go by, and then the 49ers quarterback, Brock, gets injured. That would have never happened if they didn't score that touchdown. The whole game gets changed because of that touchdown. It's a total ripoff.
The 49ers would have gotten the ball eventually, and Purdy would have gotten hurt.
How? Have you not watched Back to the Future? Like,
you know what? I can't believe because I've used the argument about the money and the billions of dollars that's exchanged, and you guys dismiss this Like, I could go back in the text. You guys are like, whatever. What do you think? Blah, blah. A couple of weeks ago, and I don't even give a crap about the NFL. So what you're talking about, I didn't even see any of this. I don't even know. I just see the socials are blowing up about it. NFL's rigged and all that stuff. And I have a nice little chuckle to myself. But the one, like 2 weeks ago with that guy missing four extra points, the kicker.
And
it was Cowboys? And it ended up being whatever. And it ended up being a half point short of the over-under. Like, that was unbelievable. As if he wasn't sitting there because he's been threatened and he's been paid and however, and he's like, if you're in control and can miss
here's
it
a million
and
bucks,
make sure
dude.
It stays an under, here's a million and your family stays safe. I mean, when everyone was talking about when he booted it off the pole or whatever, you guys, whatever, the upright there, the one pole, everyone was like, man, he looked devastated. I looked at it the other way. He looked relieved that he didn't make the kick. Because if he'd made the kick, the over would have come into effect and
the family
been in a ditch somewhere the next day.
Okay, so the Chiefs over-under on Sunday was what? 23.5. How many points did the Chiefs get? 23.5. So if they're all this NFL rig, Chiefs have to get the Super Bowl, all that Mahomes. Like, no, I mean, if they don't score in that last minute, game goes to overtime. And then, the Chiefs are going down, scoring a touchdown.
Is it remotely possible that we're talking this kind of cash, and Jay's right, you got all these cameras, why not just get the call right? This bullshit about like, because it'll make the game longer. You know what? Add 10 minutes to the game and get it right.
They had it figured out before the commercial was over. But then the play got played, and then the whole game goes on from there.
I will say that whole thing. The whole thing with the ref blowing the whistle down at the blowing the whistle at the end of the Chiefs Bengals game and then redoing the play, that was a bit interesting, but
interesting.
once they explained it I was like, okay, so
no,
I mean,
but it's like hockey too, right? Hockey and football are like this, but it's more prevalent in football because every play is a play that can change the game, right? So you start the season
hockey
and everything is getting called as a penalty, but then you get to the playoffs and it's like, oh, just let the boys play. Oh, so that one holding call that was shouldn't have been a holding call at the beginning of the year becomes, oh, you can basically tackle the guy and like sumo wrestle him to the ground, no holding call. But in the regular season, there's a 10-yard penalty on the offense. Makes no sense.
And in hockey, that is why some teams struggle when it comes to the Stanley Cup playoffs, because their teams are not built for that crap.
Like
Oilers. But they live and exactly they live and die off their power play, which they get a bazillion of in the regular season, and then it dries up because the refs put their whistles away, which is garbage. And then all of a sudden, it's like the Oilers can't score.
But at the same time,
why haven't you done better?
The NHL knew that, like, if the Flames won game five, which they would have with that crappy no call.
We were there.
They would have won game six. They would have won game seven. And then the NHL wouldn't have had Connor McDavid in another round of the playoffs against Nate McKinnon. So, yeah, I mean, maybe
you
I'm
just
from
said
that
it's rigged,
point.
Desmond. That's basically what
from
you
that
just said.
Essentially,
yeah,
you just essentially admitted that it's so that it is rigged.
Well, for the Oilers,
we should have bet on Edmonton because we knew
one
they
side
were
or the other.
The next round.
It's
for the Oilers.
I just cracked open my golden ale from Salt Spring Island. It was established in 1998. Uh-huh. It's a good beer.
All right, listen. I'm going to say
I'm a little
this.
Heated.
I think...
can we talk about the golf?
No, I was going to... Well, here. I'm going to give you a couple Super Bowl bets, and then we'll move. So I think...
I thought we...
We're going to take the Chiefs. We're going to go Super Bowl, take the Chiefs, move the line up to 3.5. Boom. Done. I would also consider Travis Kelce MVP. I would take Jalen Hurts, MVP, and really, first touchdown, I would say Travis Kelce as well. So those would be
Mahomes.
Three pretty good bets.
Right? Mahomes going to get his own touchdown. He's going to just do his little things and zippity-zip. And
well, Jalen Hurts is also
and you know where?
First touchdown bet. So
at State Farm Stadium.
In the meantime, I mean, we've got Adam's random squares.
Oh, yeah.
You took a bunch of money from people I don't recognize. No, like 90% of my names on there, but it's okay. So that might
Desmond still hasn't paid me for that. Jay, have you?
I'm pretty sure I was like on the ball.
when you I probably win, were. Just take it out of my winnings.
And if no, bullshit. Win, hit me back. That's not how the team. That's not how the team earns any cash to go to Timmins, Ontario.
I'm gonna tell you what. When we bring our
Curling Canada, can you pick closer places?
When we bring our expert on, I'll e-transfer you the money. So, all right, are we ready?
Because he'll be talking for a while.
Are we ready to?
No, we're not ready to talk because we got to talk about the Rory McIlroy. If we're going to talk gambling and betting and all this, that cheat, friggin' Patrick Reed. I can't stand that guy. I wish he'd just crawl into a live hole and stay there. We like golf. The three of us like to golf. We like to talk golf. That guy is terrible for golf. Go away.
Are you going to preface the story at least for the viewers?
Anyone who like listens to sports knows about, don't they? So the whole throwing the tee at Rory, that was stupid because he didn't throw any tee. It was overblown. That was lame, but it got us all looking and we did. And it flipped. Apparently it was a live tee too. So he flips a live tee at him. But let's be honest, if someone subpoenaed me on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, whatever it was, I wouldn't shake his hand either. So just letting everybody know out there and
don't sue you on Christmas Eve. Okay.
Don't sue me on Christmas Eve because I'm not shaking your hand Monday. To see at the driving range.
Kind of like when you wake up Sunday morning and like someone sends you mean messages to your Instagram account. Like it just I don't have time for that.
You don't respond well to that.
I don't.
But it wasn't even that. It was the ball is clearly in the first tree. He says it's in the third tree. There's no way that the rules official's got his binoculars out. I mean, come on. And he's saying with 100% certainty, it's my ball. Get bent.
What's awesome is it was another guy that he subpoenaed, Brandel Chambly, who put like the Zapruder film together of
what the ball is and all that. It was great.
And it was him. So, yeah, they're all after him. I will say, you know what? I agree. Patrick Reed is not a good person, but when he won the Masters,
we don't know that.
I bet he won the Masters, I did bet on him.
He's a cheat.
A bold statement, Desmond.
You bet on him.
He's a cheater.
He is a cheater. But you bet on a cheater.
No.
You didn't. Okay.
When he won the Masters,
yes,
I had money on him. Cleaned up. I think he was like 35-1.
Well, I just asked that. You said no. So you bet on him and you won on a cheater.
Now, how would you feel if you put a bunch of money on him and he cheated?
All the drama.
He was cheating in college. He was well known as a college cheat. He's had a cheater reputation since he was a kid.
Good. What?
Yeah.
Oh, that changes.
Jay, we know he doesn't bet small. Come on.
I know.
The minimum bet in Desmond's world is $500.
No, he bets in units.
Units.
He bets in units. I bet in dollars.
$1 at a time. I'm like, why do I even ask Jay? Jay's like, yeah, it's $6 on it. I'm like, why did I even ask you?
I did once, half the time. I think I'm a little bit embarrassed about this. Okay, so what's a one and two? Like a you wouldn't even get $2, right? Like if you bet $1, you wouldn't get $2 kind of thing.
1-1 odds?
200.
No, it was a little bit better than 1-1. But is it like a 1-2 ratio?
Like plus 150? Like you bet $1.
Something like that.
If you bet $1, you get $2 back is what you're wanting to do.
No. It wasn't that. So I bet we were living in, Jerry and I were living in England, and his last name's Hendry. I can't remember his first name, but he's like one of the best, if not the best, people probably eat me up over this, but because there's a Ronnie guy that's also a great snooker player, but Steve Hendry, maybe, I can't remember. Anyways, he was so heavily favored, and I put £20 on him, and he ended up winning, and I went back to Ladbrokes or whatever they're called over there, walked up to Ladbrokes,
the shop,
and I think I got £22 back.
Did you hear about the guy though? Who
big spender. $1 million?
That's crazy. Did you hear about that guy? The Jaguars.
Yeah. I bought a chocolate bar for that. The Anyways, Jaguars. So what happened?
Jaguars Chargers game. So the Chargers were up what, like 27-0 at halftime.
Oh goodness!
And this guy bet $1.4 million, and he would have only won like $11,200. And the Jaguars ended up coming back and winning 31-30. And this guy lost $1.4 million.
That's a jump off the building.
Kind of. How you but like me now? Like,
yeah, but what right? about the other story,
like,
though, of the guy
like
that
worse
knew?
Than Drake.
What about the guy that knew it was rigged and knew that they were going to come back and it'd be the greatest comeback in NFL history and bet at the half
$100
$50,000 that they were going to come back and they did? How much did that guy win?
Well, they said something like, yeah, if the guy had bet $11,000 on the Chargers or Jaguars coming back, you wouldn't want something like $30 million or something like that.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it was like 30 plus 3,500 or something like that.
Is there somebody out there who did that?
I'm not a math guy, but yeah, anyway.
Yeah, quite the industry.
You are a math guy. Okay, anyways, okay. Enough of this NFL, okay. PGA stuff.
Well, let's get going here. So we've talked about a few times, it's been mentioned here already, insurance. So, you know, one of our best episodes, I'd say, from an educational standpoint was when we had Mr. Kirsten on it.
It was just, it was just all time.
So, yeah.
He was one of the best all time.
Extremely, it was very educational. We all sounded smart, asked great questions. My brother since asked me how come he's not in my will. But story for another day.
That's because someone else told him that you mentioned it in the episode.
Exactly.
He hasn't listened to the episode.
He definitely hasn't listened. But so anyway, both Adam and Jay are in the insurance business. Adam on the life insurance side, Jay on the home and all side.
Not just the life insurance side, but okay.
You're going to fill us in. So that's
I'll fill you in.
Next statement. So today we're going to focus on the life insurance side. And Adam's going to be our show expert. So Jay and Al will sit here, ask him some questions. Adam's going to fill us in on, give us what you need to know, what you don't need to know on the life insurance side. So Adam, first, before we get into all that, give us a brief, and by brief, I don't mean like Tampa Bay Lightning, Stanley Cup story length.
Or just a Scotland story.
It's a really good
England story.
The Tampa Bay story is a fantastic story. I don't know what episode that was in season one, but it
Mike
was a
Bartlett.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah. Just give us
it was one of
the how and when you got into the biz and what you focus on, and then we're going to get into it, man.
Well, the how I got into the business, I guess, is probably close to 15 years ago now. And I was done working. I was the director of marketing at Sysco Food Services in Calgary. And I was kind of, we had our third kid. I went on paternity leave. I decided I was going to go into consulting and it was going okay, but you know, it was just kind of scary. And then I read a book called Four Hour Work Week. And it honestly changed my life. It was Tim Ferriss. And I called it for the longest time. I still have the copy where I highlighted stuff, put the stickies in it. I'm not kidding when I say it changed my life. I read that and I was like, I could do this. And the biggest thing that my takeaway from that book was that every one of us, because like we're
work for
we're,
4 hours in a week.
That we kind of come from privileged backgrounds, lives. We do have a big safety net. So that I'm not saying it's for everybody, but we could kind of quit what we were doing and take a risk. And so I did. I didn't go back to Sysco. I knew that my parents, if things really got bad, would probably help me out. Maybe my friends would, I'd find out who maybe my friends were. I don't know. but I was playing hockey with a guy in Calgary and he said, you know, I know a guy, you should meet with him. He's a business guy, owns an insurance brokerage. I think you guys would really hit it off. And he was right. I had lunch with the guy a couple of times, but then I went through the whole, I don't see myself as an insurance guy. And then I had lunch with another guy and he's like, well, what you're doing is really important and could save families. It could put families in better positions in the worst moments of their lives, you know, get past the whole sales side of things, life insurance sales side of things. Cause quite honestly, we're probably, we're down there with personal injury lawyers and mechanics, or used car sales guys. I think that's like the bottom four. I was
easy. For. We might have those guys on the show.
I'm not saying agree with that, Jay. I'm just saying that's how a lot of people look at us. We're kind of bottom of the barrel. So, but I got past that and I started with the guy and helped build his business up. I don't just do, life insurance is actually not a, I would say it's 40% of my business, 60% is health and dental benefits, but life insurance, disability, and critical illness goes hand in hand with health and dental benefits. So that's the short story of how I got into being a life insurance agent. And I'm licensed from Saskatchewan to BC.
So just a quick question there, because I think a lot of guys, you know, kind of when they're in the life insurance game, they kind of amalgamate that with financial planning and they put that all together. But you're not that, right? You just specialize in life insurance products. That's your gig.
I've never done that. I think that if you talk to the finance guys, their gig is finance or investment. And then what the kind of is a side hustle is the life insurance, because it's in their eyes, it's easy. They probably have a licensed broker in their office that they pass the file off to and say, you know, this is a good client of ours. They do a lot of investments with our office. Please help set the person up with life coverage and critical illness. And I don't do that.
And so I assume still part of that is that, like a whole life coverage, right? Where, you know, it's funny because you have both, you know, me, I guess over the years, having dealt with a few different insurance agents, finance people, they're always trying to sell you that whole life insurance. And it's like, oh, this is an investment. You're going to pay this amount every month for a number of years. And then at some point you stop paying and then it just continues carrying on. You just get interest carrying on in the future, and right. Look at it as an investment for the future and life insurance. And me, myself, I always look at it and say, okay, well, I think, you know, I know enough finance people that can help me invest my money in better ways. So is that like whole life insurance from what you just said there? It's not something that you necessarily recommend? You may recommend it, but you may not recommend it to use it as, say, some sort of investment.
So there's three types of life insurances that that everything falls under. There's term insurance, which is the most affordable of all life insurances, the term. Then there's whole life insurance, and then there's universal life. And universal life, there's a term insurance product within the investment. The investment person, the finance guy, he would decide what stocks you should invest in. You give him $100 a month, 50 of that covers the life insurance, and $50 he takes and invests it into some type of stock, bond, whatever. So that's universal life. I've never sold a universal life product in my life. Again, because that's investment. But whole life is the best of all life insurance, in my opinion. It's the one to get if you can afford it. The problem is it's usually 4 or 5, maybe 6 times more expensive than your term insurance, which puts most people right out of the market for what it is, but it's guaranteed. That's what's the beauty of whole life insurance, is that it's guaranteed to pay out. Either you pass away and your loved one gets the benefit. You either reach a certain age and there's a cash value that accumulates within it, and you can cash that out at any time starting after 5 years. And right around the 20th year is when what you've put into it is more than what you'd get out of it is more than what you've put into it in premiums right around the 20th year. So if you hold on to it long enough, you hold on to it for 30 years, 40 years, you're going to have a nice big chunk of change, and you have the life insurance coverage as well. People always forget that with whole life. They're like, well, why don't I just take that money and give it to an investment guy and he'll do better with it? Well, because that doesn't include the life insurance with it as well. And the other one is you reach age 100 and it cashes out automatically, and you go have the greatest party of your life in Vegas at age 100, and that's it. You're done. So,
okay, maybe then let's take it back. So term life insurance is what?
So term is I liken that to fire insurance on your house. You pay fire insurance on the house every year, whatever that might be.
Hey, get out of my game.
What?
We're not talking about.
What happened?
We're not talking about fire insurance. We're talking about term insurance.
No, that's season three, episode one.
Okay. The home and auto turf guy, you get your turn later on. Don't cut me off again either, right. Jace. Well, that's my job. Yep. So term insurance, I always liken it to fire insurance, because if you pay your premiums every year, and if the house doesn't burn down, you don't get your premiums back. Right. But if the house burns down, which would be equivalent to passing away, your beneficiary gets the money, or the insurance company rebuilds the house for you. But you don't get your premiums back if the house, you don't get rewarded for the house not burning down. right? So that's why I liken it to fire insurance. That's what term insurance is, and that's why it's the most affordable. You pick a term meaning a length of time. Usually the smallest length of time is 10 years. You can find product out there that's 5 years. But standard is starting at 10 years and they go up in 5 year increments from there. As it goes up in increments, so if you want a 10 year term compared to a 20 year term, it's not double, but the easy math of it is it would double in price, double in premium if you wanted a 20 year term. Now, going back to the whole life, the younger that you can buy whole life insurance, the cheaper. And then the quicker your 20 years is up and it's over and you're never making another premium payment. And the cash value accumulates. And so the younger you are doing that, the better. And same thing on the term insurance, the longer the term that you can get, so not the same thing, but the longer you can get with a term insurance is the better option. Doing 10-year terms, they make sense in some scenarios, but with my clients, I always suggest go the longer term because you just cannot predict the future when it comes to your health. Right, you go 10 years and all of a sudden you're diagnosed with something and you can't get insurance anymore, you're up shit's creek, right?
So I get that. Like I think when I was younger, I was taught sort of by the people that were surrounding me in my life, it's like, you know, if you can afford it, the sooner that you can jump into a life insurance product, the better, because the pricing is going to be a lot more advantageous, and you can qualify for it because you haven't gone through life and, you know, accumulated all of these, you know, diseases and ailments. And,
yeah, you haven't drank 90,000 liters of beer yet.
Exactly. Or seltzers on a regular basis. Exactly. So I get that part. The key is for me always trying to figure out, like when talking to professionals, it's like how much insurance do I need? And am I buying this because like I'm trying to offset the debts in my life and I'm trying to like protect my family from having to pay that stuff off if I, you know, fall off a cliff, or like how do you determine that kind of stuff, especially on the term life insurance side of things? Cause I think when you're younger in your life and, you know, you got a house, you got a mortgage, you got some credit card bills, all those kinds of things, it's like, is that really what I'm trying to protect my family from?
Yes. For term insurance, yes. You know, most of us have a mortgage. So what I start with, I say to my clients, add up all your debt. So credit card debt, any loans, lines of credit, you got a car loan. And then of course the big one is the mortgage, and you just add them all up and then take your annual salary and multiply that by 3 to 5 years. So just obviously for the easy math, let's say someone's got a $500,000 mortgage and that's all their debt included. The mortgage, credit cards, all that stuff, line of credit, it's 500 grand and they make $100,000 a year. So multiply that by 3. So there's 300,000. So now we're up to 800 grand. And then take $300,000. And this might be anecdotal, but I've heard out there that kids cost us $300,000 to get them out of the house and, you know, maybe get them into university, which is actually probably low. But take the $300,000 and multiply that by. Des is like, really?
God, that sounds like a deal. Like 5 years ago.
Yeah. Do those kids ride horses?
Okay. So Desmond's case, it's more in the 5 to 6, but let's say, so anecdotally, let's say it's 300,000, multiply that by the number of kids that you got. So say, you know, you've got 2 kids, so there's 600, adding that to the other, the 800 that we had. So you're not 1.4 million. Guy. So that's where I would start. Like with, you know, with this scenario, I would start that with the client and I would quote a term 30. They'd give me their age, whether they smoke, and sometimes where they live matters as well. But I mean, in Canada, there's really nowhere that's unsafe. You know, you take where they, what their age is, whether they smoke, do a quote on term 30 at $1.3 or $1.4 million, whatever we just came up with there. And then that's where I'll send that to them and I'll say, that's the jumping off point. So what can you afford at that point? I don't like leading in with, you know, what's your budget? Because I hate it when you ask somebody, what's your budget? And then you send them a quote and it just happens to be what their budget is.
So then.
Because that's not helping in my case. It looks suspicious, almost like the NFL where it's rigged.
So, okay. So then that leads to my next question. So how do you kind of break down that initial stigma when, you know, obviously, you're coming across people through your day-to-day and customers are recommended to you. And I mean, there's no easy way to say this, but no one really ever wants to meet with an insurance agent unless it's Jay. I mean, Adam,
a very personal story.
Well, that's because Jay likes to meet at the bar.
Right. But I mean,
hey, Desmond, where do we write up your insurance?
Yeah. The bar. I mean,
at Outlaws.
But at the same time, I mean, it's you have to kind of break down those barriers and you have those conversations. But I imagine, you know, through your day to day and your kid interactions, that like as you're meeting parents and all that, there is what do you do for a living? Oh, I'm in insurance. And oh, yeah, we should talk. So how does that go for you?
Okay, there's a couple questions in there. So the number one, I've always thought that there's three types of people in the world when it comes to life insurance critical illness. And that is the people that absolutely hate and are not interested. They think it's a scam. They might bring up one guy or one person that's been screwed over by some insurance company that never got their payout. I'm never going to win that person over at a party or on the phone. And they make it very clear in the first 10 seconds of saying hello, even though they may have been referred to me, that they're not interested in this. And it's more like their wife has told them to call, or the husband, and you need this, and it's not going to go anywhere. And if they don't believe in it, then what the hell? I'm not going to sell it to them. The second type of person is someone that they kind of have no idea, but like their dad or maybe their financial guy has said, you know, you should go get this done. Or maybe they're into their first mortgage. So then the person's sitting there with their partner at the bank, and the bank's giving them the work over on the mortgage coverage, which is we can get into that if you want, but that's a joke. And then the third type of person is they know they need to do it. They look at it and they go, okay, well, we've got quite a bit of debt, and I don't want to leave my spouse or my partner in debt with my kids. And kind of, I mean, it'd be terrible, you know, the worst. It would be one of the worst days of our lives to lose a spouse or a partner. And then on top of it, you inherit
saddle
the debt.
With debt.
Yeah. Like it would be, it's the double of, so that's how I've always looked at it. There's three types of people. And so 66% of the people I'm going to sell to, and the other 33, I got no chance. So, I don't ever, you know, it actually irks me when we go to a party and somebody asks me, of course, I'm putting this out there in the world. So now every time anyone sees me that knows is going to ask, hey, what do you do for a living? But I've always thought what people ask me what I do for a living, it has nothing to do with me as a person, in the sense that it doesn't define me. I think, you know, my dad worked at the Calgary Herald for 36 years, and that defined him. That's who he was. This isn't at all whatever defines. So when someone asks me what I do for a living, I just say I'm an entrepreneur or a business owner. And then I'll get into what I really do, you know, and talk about the brokerage and the life insurance and the health and dental benefits. And then I see their eyes glaze over, and they go over to the food and or the booze and ignore me for the rest of the night, because I think I'm going to try and sell them a policy.
Well, it's hard to sell a policy, you know, right? Like, yeah, like first of all, like not only are you dealing with 66% of the population, because you got a third that do think it's smoke and mirrors and that kind of thing, but now you got the 66%. You've got a cross section of people that know that they need the coverage, or they've been told that they need the coverage, and then, you know, getting, let's say, term life insurance, you know, cover your debts and all those kinds of things. It's a bit of a process, right? Like it's not easy necessarily to get. It's easy to quote. It's easy to find out how much it's going to cost you. It's going to, you know, all those kinds of hurdles. But then the actual hurdles come kind of after the fact, where you got to like actually qualify for the insurance. Is that difficult, or like, what does that look like?
Well, I think it's an age question. Obviously, the older you get, usually the harder it is to get, because the insurance company is going to dig more. A lot of, you know, clients will say to me, they don't want to do the medical, and I won't work with a client that doesn't want to do a medical. There are products out there, Canada Protection Plan. I have no idea why they call themselves, and they actually use CPP as their acronym. It's always weird, because if you speak to someone about CPP, that's Canada Pension Plan, but they've named their insurance company Canada Protect. Like, it makes no sense. I think maybe it is intentionally confusing. I'm not sure. But they will sell a product that's there's no medical needed. Okay, so we've seen those TV commercials. Alex Trebek used to be on one of them, and you know, he's selling life insurance and all that kind of stuff. But they're not the best product. And the reason they're not the best product, because they're underrated death. And of course, when you've passed away, it's pretty tough to answer questions. And so your loved ones are answering the questions for you. The insurance company digs deep into it, and then they find that, you know, you didn't check the box off that said, you know, do you have a cough? And or have you ever had a headache?
And so the banks do that too, right? Like I'm not a huge fan of government or banks. I think you guys know that by now. But that's what they do. They do the underwriting at time of death, right?
Yeah, mortgage insurance. They call it insurance, but it's really not. It's mortgage coverage, and it's a declining benefit as well. So as your mortgage decreases, your rates increase. And you can only, the bank will only cover the mortgage. So you have no say in what you do with the money. Of course, with the regular term insurance or whole life, you get the payout, or your spouse gets the payout, beneficiary.
So Jen would like buy a Ferrari, and she'd like buy a cabin and buy a Ferrari. Woods, and she'd like find a new boyfriend. Yep. And yeah. Okay.
And isn't that great?
I think I'm buying mortgage insurance.
So anyways, yeah, you asked about the process of it, and it gets a little bit bogged down, and I think it takes longer than people think it's going to take. But that's a good thing. And I think why it's a good thing is that the insurance company is doing their due diligence. And of course, people out there listening might go, well, they're looking for a reason to decline you. When they're underwriting, they're not really looking for a reason to decline you. They're which is a good thing. You want to be notified if you're unhealthy, if you've got something. And we'll say, you know, we found something. They won't tell me what. This is actually Christmas one year. We need to get a hold of your client immediately. Do you know how to find them? And they were in Hawaii, and I had to call them with obviously not great news. Ended up saving the guy's life because they found something that his own doctor hadn't found. And I always say that to clients too. They're a little bit weary about getting a medical done. Is the insurance company will find something if there's something to find.
Which is amazing. So that's the first fail safe. And then the second part, to that is that, like, once you pass all these tests, you know, you have the insurance, right? So
yes,
then
you
fall off the planet and your family's protected. You just don't have, like, not that you would worry about it because you're already dead, but your family doesn't have to worry about it.
There's only a couple exceptions to that. And there's what's called a suicide clause. So within the first 2 years, if you commit suicide, it would not pay out. If you stop making payments on the policy, this seems like a no-brainer, but it is. If you stop making payments, then the policy becomes void. And then the third one, which this was a bit of a sticky one, and this is the stuff you hear about in the news usually. You know, like I 9 out of 10 times, not that there's that many stories in the news about life insurance not paying out, but these are the ones that you hear about. And that's the person that was in an illegal act at the time of passing away. So they were robbing a bank. Walked outside the bank and the cop shot him dead, and he had a life policy. That's not paying out because you were in the act of robbing
enough.
A bank, or you're in a house, you're breaking into a house and the homeowner's in the home and they shoot you off the front step. You're not getting paid out on that one. There's actually a case.
What
in
if
Calgary.
You're betting on the NFL? Because I mean,
well, that's legal, isn't it?
Okay. But then, well, it's
well, if you're like the kicker
activity,
if you're, the
you're
kicker,
saying, and the league is rigged.
Well, it hasn't been proven
we'll
yet.
We'll have to look at the policy wordings on that one.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know that that's in there. But like there was a case in Calgary a couple of years ago and the husband found out about his wife was cheating on him. I wish it's the wife, but it was the partner was cheating on him, found out about it. He got absolutely loaded up, got on his motorbike and he ran himself into a wall and obviously killed himself. And the insurance
morbid.
Company said, we are talking morbid stuff, but the insurance company said, we're not paying it out. A, he was drunk driving and
from Australia?
Speeding.
Drink drive?
Drink. Going to, hey, Crocky.
Doing
Crocky,
the drink,
drink driving.
Yeah.
Hey, Ron Hall. Hey. Anyway, yeah, so that one didn't pay out and the spouse took the insurance company to court and I do not know the outcome of it, but I'm guessing she didn't win.
Cliffhanger.
So,
wow.
Anyways,
so,
yeah.
Critical illness then. Right. So,
okay. Whoa, yes. Whoa. Let's back this up a bit for a second. So term insurance is for the guy that's got debt and wants protection for his family. Whole life
could be too. Yep.
But whole life is more for like the guy that's got some cash that can afford the premiums. He gets money at the end and he's got the life insurance portion. Right.
So a guy with some extra cash. And came to me and said, listen, I want to make sure that the debt's taken care of, but I also don't want to just like pay for this for 20 years and get nothing out of it. That's the guy that would be a whole life. So he might say to me, listen, I want a $2 million policy. I want a $1.7 million policy on the term and I want 250,000 on the the whole life. So in total, he has $2 million in coverage. In 20 years, he's done with the term insurance. Nothing happened. He didn't die. That's great. And now he's really in a spot where he can almost self-insure himself. You know, he's made a lot of money. Debt's down. The mortgage is paid off. But now he's got that $250,000 whole life insurance. It's completely paid off, and it's just sitting there with a cash value that it keeps going up and up and up. Now, why someone might want that, or you know, you'd say, why would you keep that? Obviously, you could just cash it out at some point. But if he passes away and that goes to his beneficiary, the beneficiary can use it to pay off any of the capital gains that might be, you know, cool. when they sell the house.
That's good news.
So that's what you would use that for. And term insurance is it's unpredictable. You don't know when you're going to die, right? So whole life kind of takes care of that, where, you know, you know you're going to have it to the age of 100. If you don't cash it out, or if you don't pass away, you've got it to the age of 100. And so that's why a lot of people will take that product and use it.
And then universal, we don't care about. And then Des is acting about critical illness, which is a completely
critical illness. Yeah,
it is completely different. A lot of people get confused on that. They think, well, I don't need, if I've got one, I don't need the other. They're completely different products. And quite honestly, I think critical illness is more important than life insurance, especially, and I'm not trying to, you know, scare us or anything like that, but especially middle age. It's
this different. Where I think critical illness is where you hit me with the, hey, we need to look at your insurance. One of my term policies was coming to renewal, and I said, all right, let's meet for a beer. And you're like, it'll be the most important beer of your life.
I was kidding, kidding.
And then you hit me up for some critical illness, but you paid for the beer.
Well, I probably brought a six pack of like Kokanee back then or something. It's probably the cheapest beer.
No, you said, where's happy hour at the local place? Yeah.
But yeah, critical illness is completely different. And what it covers, it's a living benefit, because I don't want to get into the statistics of things, but 75% of Canadians, right around there anyways, 75% of Canadians that are diagnosed with a critical illness survive it, which is a big chunk of people. And the hardest part, when obviously you get diagnosed with a critical illness, the hardest part is probably the diagnosis, but it's the financial side of things. The amount of pressure put on families on the financial side, I see a lot of clients and a lot of people, a lot of employees through the group side, they go back to work way too early. They haven't actually beat the cancer or the stroke or the heart attack yet. They're still recovering from it, but because there's such a financial strain on the family, they have to go back to work early, which causes more strain. And I think, I'm not a doctor, but I actually don't think it's healthy. So what critical illness does is it covers a critical illness diagnosis. You have to survive the diagnosis 30 days, and then you get a check essentially on day 31. If it's life threatening, the big three are usually covered in a critical illness policy.
So cancer, heart, something.
Yeah, heart attack, stroke, and cancer. It has to be life threatening. So that's a different. You can get policies that cover up to 26 critical illnesses, blindness, losing a limb, that kind of thing. That's covered in a critical illness policy, as well as other organs, different diagnoses. Like ALS, that's in there as well. So it's a really good product, because who at our age doesn't know somebody that's been diagnosed with cancer, had a stroke or a heart attack? We all know somebody that has. And someone said this a long time ago, and it stuck with me, is if you could line up 100 people that have been diagnosed with a critical illness and you could offer them critical illness coverage, no questions asked, you could have it. How many of the 100 would take it? And 100 of them would take it. So it's kind of silly that we're healthy. We haven't, knock on wood, been diagnosed with anything. And we sit here and we're like, I don't need it. And it's one of those things you're like, you wish you had it when you did, or when you could get it. And it's not that expensive. You know, you can get a $50,000, you can get a $25,000 critical illness policy. And for some people, that would be half an annual salary. You know, it would help. Maybe it makes it so you don't have to go back to work for 3 months. After you know, the government benefits stop coming in, or maybe your disability at work stops.
Yeah, so like I kind of like the whole life one, where you have like kind of benefits on both ends of things. Do they still have that critical illness product where like you get your money back at the end if you don't actually get the critical illness?
Yeah. And that's, again, that's like, that's for someone that has extra cash. There's just basic. So you can get a basic critical illness policy that just covers the big three. And then you can get an enhanced policy that covers 26. And then you can really get some riders on there that increases the price, but essentially makes you bulletproof that, you know, after X amount of years, if you don't use the policy, you get your premiums back. So if someone can afford that, why wouldn't you? All right. I mean, that's to me, that's like the absolute no brainer. Get $250,000 of coverage. And in X amount of years, if you didn't get diagnosed with a critical illness, you get your money back. Like,
well, this shit all makes sense to me. Like, so why are people like, why is there such a barrier? Like people just don't want to talk about it. I mean, I'm biased because I'm in the insurance industry, but Desmond, why don't people want to talk about this shit?
Well, I think you're assuming there is a barrier. There actually, I don't find that there is a barrier. People that call me, and
I think I asked Desmond, but that's okay.
Oh, did you? My apologies. Okay, so I'll just answer the question for Desmond.
Go for it. No, but I think there's, you know, it's again, I going back to there's a bit of a stigma, and I think there's a way of doing it, and you've explained it today. And yeah, there's a negative aspect to it. No one wants to talk about, but there's also like those agents out there that just they are just like. They're just selling you the death, right? Like I know I've gone through work and other things, you know, you meet life insurance agents and you meet various agents in insurance. And I can always, one of the very first, and I think we've talked about this as well. The one guy selling me the universal life. And then you're like, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. And then there was like the other guy who was selling me a critical illness, but he was selling it to me in such a way. He's like, do you know the statistics? You yourself are going to have a heart attack. You will have cancer. You will have liver disease. You will have, or you're going to end up in an old folks home and you're going to leave your wife. She's going to have to take care of you if you don't do this and that and this and that. And then your kids. And
is there life leaving or wife leaving you insurance?
Exactly. And it's like, do you know how you came into this world taking care? You came into this world with your parents taking care of them, care of you. And then you are going to leave this world with your own kids taking care of you. And it's like, wow. Like I left coffee. Yeah. And
well, I'm glad you listened to the presentation. You like kind of know does, verbatim like here.
I left and I was like, I actually don't ever want to see that guy again.
Right. But right? Here's the thing. I think
I get what he's saying, but at the same time, I think, you know, Alec Baldwin, Glengarry Ross, always be closing. Like you showed me your wristwatch. And then you showed me. Then you sold me life insurance.
Well, I had
if
you
only
on my
people
wristwatch.
Knew what a wristwatch was.
It's a big wristwatch.
It's a big wristwatch. Here's the thing: is I think there's somebody out there for everybody. I like that's also sales
relationship
talk, right?
101 with
it
dunk.
Is. Yeah, but I really kind of believe that because the guy giving you the hard press. That's worked before he would be out of the industry. And maybe for us, that's a little bit greasy. But if it works for him and people are buying the product, that's not a horrible thing because they need it right now. I don't know what he's selling them, but I think there's somebody that's out there listening to that pitch and probably gets a little bit scared and it obviously has worked. I don't sell that. I'm like, tell me what you can afford. Here's what I think you should do. And if they don't like it or they don't call back, it's been a while now. It's been 15 years into this. I don't chase it. There's a reason why people are busy, you know, but I answered the question there earlier, but I don't think it's that for me, it's not a hard sell. It's like, if someone's been referred to me or has asked about, you know, like Jay's Business Pro Insurance, with the home and auto side, he sends me business and it'll be like a client will ask him directly, do you guys do life insurance? And then he refers the business to me. Well, the person is asking about life insurance. So it's not like I have to give them the, oh my God, you're going to die. And, you know, your spouse is going to leave you and your parents borned you. And, you know, I don't even do that. I don't go into it. So I think it's a style thing.
Your boss?
He will be. He might be someday.
I like that little additive there, Desmond. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
But no, you know, it's not that hard of a sell. And
I don't like that we're driving up the price of Adam's business. We should be driving the price down so that I can buy it.
The podcast.
And then we should drive the podcast. So
I should have sponsoring the podcast.
Yeah.
Well, I'll let you know.
Okay, let me ask you this. So for the insurance that you sell, and we haven't actually even touched on the benefit side, but no. I don't think many people, like most people in this case, are on the life insurance side. But like, why use a broker instead of
How can you ask that?
Right?
Well, I'm
just asking.
That is a TV question, but you don't have to. You can go online, and you could call the number that is on the TV. And you would still speak to someone who's licensed, or I would hope they're supposed to legally be licensed unless someone's figured out a loophole. And you could buy insurance through them. And again, it's good. It's good that somebody bought coverage, and it's good that they're thinking about their families. But the reason why you should go through a broker is because they're going to hopefully broker the deal. They're going to get you the best price that they can, or they're going to put you in the position with the best insurance company that fits their situation. And when it goes really bad, which it has, like if you're in this industry long enough, you're going to deliver a check, in a real horrible moment. And, I would really like to know who I'm calling in that situation rather than calling a call center.
You're an advocate, right? You're advocate for people and when things go sideways, they want to know that they've got somebody that they know and trust that they can like pick up the phone and actually call.
Sure. And even the guy that's giving you the hard sell there, Desmond, like the guy who gives you the hard sell, I'd be surprised. I mean, he's a human being. And at the end of the day, if he's been in the business long enough, he's had to deliver a check or deal with a situation like that. And I would hope that in that situation, he's a pretty decent guy and helping that family out. Or she. Yeah, no, you didn't. Really
it wasn't appropriate. And he also holds my universal life policy. So there's two things there.
What if he's a listener?
On a side note,
he'll be calling you.
Adam, like,
yes.
How do people get a hold of you?
Oh, you can go to my website at adibenefits.ca, and that's an A, a D, an I, benefits with an S.ca. Or aduncan@adibenefits.ca.
Or you can contact him through Sproul Insurance. Go figure.
Because I am a broker with Sproul Insurance.
Yeah. Is there a phone number?
Sproulie?
Sure. Yeah, go through me. 403-251-5559. What's your extension?
Number 3, I think.
3. Ooh, yeah. Perfect. Ooh.
All right. Okay.
Right. Yeah. But one thing I did want to say,
I was going to say, is there anything else, Adam, you want to leave the listeners?
There's one thing. And this isn't going to leave them hanging. If they're still listening, I really appreciate it because this is not like the most riveting topic. But work.
This should have been episode number 2, not episode number 1.
Yeah. People are like, wow, this is going downhill. But work versus personal coverage. This is one thing that does come up a lot. And this is actually a barrier. This is hard to get past. Because then it does start to sell like a sales job after a bit. But touching into the health and dental benefits side of things, which I do sell those policies to businesses as well, they often include life insurance. What employees don't know is those policies are owned by the employer. They're owned by the company. And you can't take that with you. You can take the health and the dental. But the life insurance disability, that's not transferable usually. And if it is, the premiums become so expensive that the person can't afford it, which is probably intentional from the insurance company. So quite often I'll get a call, someone's looking for life insurance, and then they'll say, yeah, but you know, I already have life insurance through my work. It's like 3 times my annual salary. And I just pay into that every month. It gets deducted off my off my paycheck. But the problem is, if, and this is, we've all left our jobs at some point, the 3 of us have, Once you leave that job, you're not taking that with you. So if you work at a job for 5 years and you're paying into that life insurance, it's
where you're the middle-aged guy and now you can't get insurance,
yeah,
right?
So exactly. Now you've left. So, you are stuck in middle age. Yeah.
Middle age.
Well, so no insurance.
That's one thing that irks me a little bit, because it's like they're two separate things. And even if somebody just got a small policy, like $100,000 of a term 20, that wouldn't be a lot for a middle-aged person. And if they ever left that company, then they'd still have coverage. And that one always worries me, because they feel like they're protected, they're bulletproof, and they're really not, because as we all know, even right now, it's uncertain right now with Canada going into whatever it's heading into here. You know, job security, you think you're okay one day, you walk in and you're getting told your job's obsolete, and now everything you've been paying for that long, it doesn't exist anymore. And now your family, like you guys have pointed out, you're too old to get it, or maybe you're sick or whatever, or just maybe it's too expensive at that point to get. So that's one misconception that I think people, you think you're protected by your work coverage, and technically you are, but you're only protected if you work there.
While you're there.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good advice, man.
All right. That's awesome.
That's a lot of it.
The whole Bible. That's like a lot of information.
People might have to listen to that episode twice. Yeah. Yeah. We're going to see.
Did we get two downloads for that?
I don't know how that works.
I think maybe. You know what I'm hearing, though? This is definitely some sort of sponsorship. So, yeah, I look forward to it. Awesome. And I think my second favorite part, other than the sponsorship, was the fact that we actually asked you to speak that much, and you did, and you sounded extremely intelligent.
Well,
didn't skip a beat.
One of
the
nicest things you've ever said to me, Desmond.
It's all right. Yeah, no, it's great.
All right,
I don't
thanks.
Know. Do you have anything you need to throw in?
I don't have. No, I think he did a great job. A ton of information in there. I mean, I kind of deal with the stuff every now and again where it just kind of, you know, people ask me questions and I pass it along to him, and he takes great care of everybody, and lots of really good feedback from customers and stuff like that. But you know, it's a big genre of business, and it's hard to navigate, right? So you need a person to help you out with that. And so, you know, whether it's Dunk or whoever you have in your life, it's good to explore that stuff, because you know, you don't want to leave your loved ones behind with struggles.
No, and I agree with what you just said. Like, I'm not the broker for everybody, and I'm not saying that I am. But go search it out. Even if you buy the stuff off the TV, it's at least you're go take care of it, because it would be horrible. It would be horrible to leave your family strapped with something. And you can get, like, I think people think they need to have like a big policy. And it would be nice if you could afford a $2 million policy. Sure, you're going to set your family up and they'll never have to worry about university and all that kind of stuff. But man, if you just got a $50,000 life policy, that would maybe help your family get through 6 months after you've passed away, or 3 months, right? Like that would be a big gift after you've gone. And I know that's harsh for people to hear it, because it's not really a gift, but you know what I mean? It's...
You talk about that critical illness insurance and the 100 people. If you like rewound people back in like 25 years from now, would you sign up for this? The number of people that you look around.
Everyone.
And say,
everyone would do it.
How everyone would do it.
I knew once in my life that they used to say, I've got two balls and neither of them are crystal.
And that's pretty good. I might start using that.
Jeez.
That's excellent.
Right, well, okay,
and on that note.
On that
all right. Note, hey, can we talk about episode two, season two?
Yeah,
episode
we should. We got like exciting stuff
well,
happening.
I mean, no, listen, we haven't locked that in yet.
We're pretty close to locked it in.
It's pretty close. It's pretty close.
Hey, yeah. I would say we're locked in.
Okay. Good. Go for it then.
Well, I'm not going to mention who the guest is yet, or the company.
Can we talk about the genre?
Yeah, well, I think we should talk about what. Yeah,
we're going to talk about that. In the genre.
We're going to talk about this anyway. So we might as well just talk.
I was watching this movie the other night with Ryan Gosling in it, and the guy from The Office, Steve Carell, is that his name?
Yep.
What the heck's the movie called?
Where he dates the Steve's daughter,
the daughter and everything.
That's a great movie.
And Julianne Moore is the wife the in mom? It. And
Who's the daughter?
She's the one from Spider-Man
with the red hair.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's Gwen or whatever.
Gwen.
Yeah, like in Spider-Man. Isn't that her name? Gwen and Steph.
Carry on.
Anyways, okay. Well, I was watching it, and in because Steve Carell has been told that he's getting the wife doesn't want to be with him anymore. She wants to get a divorce, and he's a mess, right? He's wearing New Balance.
White.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. Balance, yeah. And Gosling just takes the shoe and chucks it over the. It's awesome. So, but one of the things he goes and gets his hair done, and that's where I was like, it clicked, and I was like, you know what? How many of us are wearing sweatpants? How many of us are like, essentially it's just a hoodie every day, which I'm wearing right now. And they're not moisturizing, the hair product, the beard product. And it was kind of like,
no blow drying.
Well, like some of us are doing a good job of taking care of ourselves, but I think some of us have abandoned what our wives were attracted to originally. Or not even just our wives, but just women in general, like for the three of us, I know not, women, dudes, whatever, that were attracted to everyone in the beginning. Now it's, we got away from it. We kind of,
I'll tell you this, the Nations Cup pool party, you back it up like 20 years ago to now.
It's a little different. It's a little different.
They have to put a restriction on the number of people that get into the pool because it just like overflows.
Well, think about it. Back in the day, when we first started going to the bar, the Dracar Noir was kind of a thing, and other scents, right? They mattered. And I know we'd go to the mall, go to South Center Mall in Calgary there, and go into the bay, and they'd hand out the samples and things, and we kind of cared more, I think, back
Calvin
then.
Klein Sport,
exactly. And so our guest, we approached a Calgary company. And I'd say it's 99% done. He has asked for our mailing address. They're sending us products, so we're going to sample the products before
the show. I can't believe you told him to send you product in BC. Like, I could just go pick it up at the market.
And you don't give anything away. You're giving stuff away there, Desmond. So anyways, we've got a really cool guest. And of course, the idea being is that we're going to talk about men's grooming, men's health.
Fashion.
What how are guys?
Feel? What are we supposed to do?
What are our age? What are we screwing up?
What don't
up?
We do? Like,
yeah,
this haircut of mine is coming back around. I'm gonna ask.
No, what I did notice, no, it's not. AJ, is like you didn't. You stayed away from the palm tree today.
I don't know. I flattened it out a bit. No, I feel better really. About my haircut
it
after
looks,
looking at
it. Looks as spiky. Yeah, I got mine cut. It's too short.
Yeah,
I'm not pleased with it.
You did,
but
not.
It'll grow. It'll grow. The beauty of my hair, Jay, is it grows. Because I have but some.
I think so. Burn. I'll say this much in closing for this episode. Like the number of people that came up to me at Wasim Hakti and said, Jay didn't change his hair today.
So they listen.
They listen. And they know.
You should listen.
And you should listen.
Yeah. And you should flatten your hair.
I cut it short, dude. Like, one of them was the way my head shaped.
Okay. That's okay.
But I will say this, I went to Sobeys tonight to pick up some flowers for my wife. Sorry, I should have said something cooler. Like I went to like a specialty flower shop, but no, I went to Sobeys and I grabbed some flowers because it was our dateversary.
Right.
And when I was walking through the store, there was two other dudes that had, like, if we looked in the mirror to get like, we were mirror images of one another. Like we had the same haircut and they were good looking dudes.
Are you sure you weren't looking in a mirror?
Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure.
You can say that. I don't have any issues.
They were good looking dudes. I was like, damn, if I look like that, which I think I do, still got it going on.
Yeah, but the only thing, if Jen had been with you and she'd gone, oh my God, those two guys look like
your doppelgangers. But she wasn't, so I can't do that comparison.
I know.
I get what you're saying.
Then it would hold more water than you saying, hey, that guy looks at me. That's like me saying, hey.
No, he didn't look at me. I look
like
him,
Luke Perry.
I was like, you look like me. That's what
and
happened.
He's like, wait, you're going to buy flowers for me at Sobeys?
It was thought that counted.
I've done this
it is
same thing. I've
Desmond,
done the same
do you
thing.
Celebrate
We've
your date?
We've all done it. We've all
you
done it. Haven't
date?
We? And if you're not doing it, listeners out there, next time you're in Sobeys or
this is part of the fashion, right? It's like taking care of yourself, taking care of your lady, right?
Sure. Just why not? Just pick all up about a handful good. Of sunflowers, right? Like that's that's a nice thing to do. Or tulips. It's just a nice to do.
Lilacs.
Well,
who cares where it comes from? Does it matter where it comes from?
The heart.
On that note, let's close it out.
Guys. I don't have a crystal ball or two
crystals. Two. I have two balls, neither of which are crystals.
Neither are crystals. That's wicked.
All right. On that note.
Yes.
Guys, it's been fun.
Great to see you.
It was fun.
Episode 16, season 2, episode 1. Take care. Late.
See you later, boys.
Later.